Today on Real Radio.
It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Who and what you and I are and what we become, listen, church, is formed and shaped in our early years.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called The Disciplines of Life, a collection of studies that applies scriptural principles to our lives as true disciples of Jesus. Among the fundamental ways our Maker works in the lives of His people, there is the sanctification process, transforming us more and more to live for Him. Often, it's not easy. But those trials turn to gold, as the old saying goes. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in an exploration of what Scripture says on this topic. It's called The Discipline of Dependability.
Well, church, grab your Bibles this evening and turn, if you would, to two places, and that is Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, and we'll read it there in a moment, and Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations. It's just after the book of Jeremiah and just before the book of Ezekiel. Just after Jeremiah and just before Ezekiel is the book of Lamentations, written by Jeremiah the prophet. Lamentations, but first Matthew chapter 28. Tonight we're looking at the discipline of dependability. What does it mean to be dependable? What is God's definition of it? And what does it mean and what does it look like in our lives? We're going to talk about that tonight and, Lord willing, learn of that tonight. So Matthew chapter 28, regarding the disciplines of life, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And behold," and I love this, "I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Now, Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27, the discipline of dependability. "It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent, because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth to the dust, and there may yet be hope." What a strong word. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Who and what you and I are and what we become, listen, church, is formed and shaped in our early years. It's interesting to me that Karl Marx, Joseph Stalin, Fidel Castro have all announced throughout the careers of their tyranny that if we can just get the youth of a culture, then we'll get the future. That is the future, is the youth. When you can control the youth, you will control the future. America has a brand new future that's happening right before our eyes because the youth now are growing up and they're voters and they're in the economy, and they're in the neighborhood, and they have now advanced, and there's a whole nother generation coming behind them. That's the way it has always been. That's the way it shall be until the Lord comes back. But keep this in mind. The person that you are today, the life that you live, is very much formed by your early years. The struggles that you and I go through in our own private life, The things that we need to get victory over. How much of what you and I struggle with as Christians are things that are what we'll call residuals of our lives? How much of that is something that controls us versus something that, through the power of God, is able to be overcome? I would say this, that no matter who we are in Christ, as we'll see by the end of this message, that no matter what kind of upbringing that you've ever had in your life, no matter how dark the painting or picture can be, that the Bible says through Christ we are more than conquerors. And that's very good news. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth." Check this out. "Before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" Think of that. As you're young, remember now the days. Remember the Creator, your God, in the days of your youth. Listen, church family, as we are young people gathered around here right now, you say, as young people, that doesn't matter what age you are right now. If you've got some years to live, you're younger now than you will be later. Right? And what I'm talking about is we need to remember the Lord our God in the days of our youth. Because there are days coming when the scripture says we will have no pleasure in those days. Now, for some that are older and getting on in years, or maybe it's sickness or disease or ailment, life is a burden. Life is difficult. Life gets hard. It's a struggle to get out of bed for some people when in earlier years it was something that they never thought about. And God says, you remember me in your youth. There is no reason why our young people today in America, or for that matter in the world, should have some sort of an excuse as to why they can't follow Jesus because they're young. Oh no, it's the other way around. Because they are young, they should be following Jesus absolutely 100%. Crazy for God. This nation, this world needs to see kids crazy for God once again. Kids that are alive for Christ. And there's certain laws, by the way, in all of nature that you and I obey every day. The laws that take place in nature, gravity's working on us all, right? There's entropy, which is the second law of thermodynamics. Entropy declares that everything in the scientific world and the observable universe is going from an ordered state to a chaotic state. Did you know that? That's what the Bible says too, by the way. That's what science says. Everything's going from a perfect state to a disastrous state. Things are unwinding. We know that the burn rate of the sun, for example, is diminishing. It's losing strength. You and I as humans are losing strength. We know from philosophy and also from science that the moment a child is born, a child begins to die even at its young age. Why? Because it started that downward progression of life. It's going against the clock. The clock is, as it were, against life. And it doesn't matter what you and I do in all of this life. There's not enough Botox or saline or corrective surgery or whatever that is going to make that change. There are laws that God has established. And one of those things is how you and I, listen, are disciplining our lives as believers. And I'm going to say some things tonight that need to be said. Things that parents need to be listening to. And if they're not going to listen to it, then you young people tonight, you tune in and listen and be better off for it. Remember, listen, I'm not your parent. I'm not your dad. So I get to tell you stuff that I really, really value. And you can choose to take it and live it out or not. It's your choice, but I hope you do take it. Before we get into this, jot down 2 Corinthians 4:16. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. And that's the last thing in a young person's mind this evening is my outward man's perishing. Because when you're young, you're deceived by how you feel. You feel so good. And I want to challenge you, because listen, us old people now, we would say, man. I remember I was reading Benjamin Franklin, and he was talking to Thomas Jefferson. And the conversation went this way, that somebody's age was stated and the guy was 70 years old. I'm 70 years old today. And Benjamin Franklin, who was well into his 80s, turned to Jefferson and said, oh, to be 70 again. Well, think about that for a moment. I'm 52. Oh, to be 32 again. Why? Because I know more now than I did then. But now I don't have the energy to pull off what I know, which is the right thing to do. If I had life, you've heard this before, if I had life to live all over again, I would do it this way or I'd do it that way. Where does that come from? Based upon life's experience lived in light of God. And then to look back and say, you see young people, you go, oh, don't do that. And they think, what do you know, you old timer? You know, and then their car blows up or they run into the glass wall and you say, I told you. And there's some bit of pleasure, by the way, for us old people watching you do that. But But when you're young, you need to be focused more on God than ever before. Because what you're sowing to in your youth will matter later on in life. The things that you and I are enjoying right now as older believers is because we invested in the things of God early on in life. I'm so grateful for my spiritual heritage and that Christ saved me young in life at the age of 19. Now, if I had to do it my way, I guess I would have said, I wish I would have been grown up in a Christian home, but God knows his plan. But these influences that you and I have had in our lives have caused you and I to have certain disciplines in our life. And these disciplines become our lifestyle. So here we go. Number one is this. The discipline of dependability is this. That we are to be training our new heart. Will you jot that down? As a Christian tonight, you've been granted a brand new heart. My friends, listen, do not think for a moment that you can come into religion and just carry your old world into some preconceived notion that you've just added religion onto your life. No, you and I have been given as a believer, Christian, a new heart. That's one of the great hallmarks of God's work in our lives. We don't become religious, we become new people. We've been given a new heart, and we've got to train that new heart instructed in the things of God. It's been well said that the heart is the great fundamental. Isn't that a great statement? The heart is the great fundamental. Noah Webster in his 1828 dictionary says that dependability is the act of loyalty, reliability, steadfastness. Webster adds, as in a dependable friend. Isn't that a beautiful thing? To him, he writes, that dependability is that which is found like it is in a dependable friend. Loyalty, reliability, steadfastness. That's a strong word. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 5:8 regarding the heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you ever thought about that for a minute? Think about that. This is not the study I want to give right now, but let me put this in front of you. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You want to freak out for a moment? God is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. In eternity, by the way, the pure in heart, there's not going to be a section in heaven where the pure in heart sit. Did you know that? Well, I'll be a peacemaker. I'll be over here. No, you're not. No, no. Those in heaven will have all of those things because the true believer in their heart right now, you, right here this evening, you long to be a peacemaker. You long to be pure in heart, don't you? The four of us do, right here. Pure in heart. See, what does that mean? They shall see God. How? How are we going to see the Holy Spirit in heaven? I don't know, but we're going to. It says God. You will see God. How are we going to see God the Father when the Bible tells us that no man can look upon him? Because you will be glorified. You will be in your glorified state. You will be in your absolute, total, redeemed state. Wow. Obviously, we can really relate and associate, and so we should with Jesus Christ. But to see the Holy Spirit, to see the Father, to see the Son, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That is going to be an awesome moment. And when we talk about the disciplines of dependability, we're talking about something that is installed in the character of a believer. A brand new heart's been given to us. Now, why do we need a new heart? Because the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, now watch the doors. This is where people leave. Watch this. Cameras, get ready. Follow them out all the way. Because nobody wants to hear this if they're deceived. But if you're honest with yourself, you'll say, wow, the Bible looks down into my soul. Jeremiah 17:9 says, this is God speaking, the heart is deceitful above all things. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you keep reading verse 10, God says, I know it. God knows. Do you know that? The heart's wicked, says the Bible. It's deceitful. It needs to be renewed. It needs to be changed, I should say. A new heart. And that heart needs to be trained in the things of God. It's being born again, Jesus said. In Psalm 14:1, the Bible says, I love this. Go out tonight. It's going to be crystal clear. Look at the stars. It's been beautiful at night for the last 10 months. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Look up at those stars, because the Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. You think of that? Boy, this morning I was outside early. It was beautiful and it was dark and the sky was so brilliant. And you think about the heavens declare the glory of God. And sometimes when I'm looking at the heavens and you're thinking about that, it's almost as though, as the scripture says, that day and today, night and tonight and day and today, they utter their speech and there's no place where their voice is not heard. It means that the heavens are shouting to a world that's looking on, God is real. But the fool says in his heart, no God, there's no God, there's no God, there's no God. Wow. Well, listen, this is the very reason why, as Jesus said, we must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. We need a brand new heart. And the moment that we come to Christ, that heart needs to be trained in the things of God. Ezekiel 36, 26 says that God speaks to the believer and he says, I will give you a new heart and I will put my spirit within you. A brand new life. In 2 Corinthians 5, you're going to have to write these down fast. I have a lot of verses. In 2 Corinthians 5, 16, the Bible says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. I quote this verse often. I love it. We don't look at each other any longer according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do we believe that tonight? Listen, have you had a rough life? Has the input into your life been very bad? Have you had horrible parents or horrible grandparents? Or did somebody raise you? Were you raised by a pack of wolves in the wilderness? Whatever that was, listen, you are not an animal. You have been created in the image of God. You're not an angel. You're redeemable. Angels are not. You are God's treasure, so much so, he says, I've sent my son to die on the cross for your sins and to not only pay the price that you and I couldn't pay for our sin, he did that, washing away the sin of yours and mine, but on top of it, giving us a brand new start in life. All the stuff that, mark it down in your head, just think for a moment. All the stuff that we would say is against us, is it life? Somebody might say, life's not fair. Let me tell you something. Absolutely not. Life's not fair. It's not supposed to be fair. Where do we get that concept? Well, life's not fair. For you to say that life's not fair is for you to immediately admit that there is something better. And to assume that what's difficult must be bad. Somebody, I was talking to someone yesterday at the hospital, and they said, well, the worst thing that can happen is, and they said what they said, and I said, but is that really the worst thing that could happen? Yeah, that's what they said. Is it really the worst thing that could happen? That this person, life ends in death? Not for the believer, that's not the worst thing that can happen. See, we get this concept, and let me tell you something right now. We need to rejoice. God is not fair regarding salvation either. You don't want God fair regarding salvation. Fair is all the super nice, good people get to go to heaven. Where are the rest of us going to go? So the newness of life that he gives us, listen, is observable. In this area of God working in you, dependability. And man, I feel like a salmon right now swimming upstream with what I'm about to say. Our culture is all but lost because somewhere along the line, our kids have been sold a bill of goods. Just get by. Don't excel. Don't be the star student. Don't get all happy faces. Don't get straight A's. You'll make everybody else feel bad. Don't be innovative. Listen. We have been sold down the river of just getting by in life, and now we come. Listen, there's something to suffering. There is something to duty. There is something to having to be dependable. Mom, Dad, if you think having Junior at 8 years of age learn how to take the trash cans out, even though the trash can's taller than him, you think that's evil because you've been sold an absolutely insane way of thinking? Listen, do you understand that when you're training Junior to take the trash can out, you are building in his life character? I want you to mow the lawn. Hey, the lawnmower might be too big for him. But put her in situations where they need to sweat and learn and try again. We have a culture that says if it's too hard, quit. And it's wrong because you know what? It translates into life. And you have a bunch of people walking around in life. They're not dependable, but they're holding their hand out saying, give me, give me, give me. It's mine, it's mine. I don't need to earn it. Hand it to me. And yet every great achievement in the world, for that matter, in America, has been because people have put their blood, sweat, and tears. You see, what does that have to do with what we're talking about? Because in spiritual matters, too many young people today are brought up saying, well, you know what, whatever. And when I read my Bible, I see young people pursuing, hungering, can I say, lusting after God. Passionate for him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stop right there. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does that mean? Well, I guess we just sit around and wait for the cake to arrive. No, we are to war in the things of the Spirit, right? We are to put on the armor of God. The victory's been given, thus we go to war. And the things of God. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be, here's that word, dependable, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your what?
Labor.
Can I hear that again?
Labor.
Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Are we teaching our young people today? Do our junior hires and high schoolers know that they are to be laboring in the things of God? It's hard. It's difficult. It's tough. Because you know what? Life is hard, difficult, and tough. And as believers, is eternity, is heaven, is Christ so important to us that we will absolutely be sold out for him? Oh, I'm telling you, it's the only way to live, and it's the only way that we're going to have life. There is no life lived in some mediocre state.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a presentation called The Discipline of Dependability, a look at what God's written word says about our Maker working in our lives to make us more and more consistent in trusting him and recognizing that it is our Father's world. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Disciplines of Life, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, you can hear this presentation again. Just visit realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org and scroll down to the tab that says Today's Broadcast. Well, we've now surpassed the 10-year mark of 9/11, and here at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, we held our own Night of Remembrance and Night of Hope and featured Congressman Bob McEwen. And just to give you an idea of how informative and well-connected Bob McEwen is, he served on the Intelligence Committee under two presidents. And we had the privilege of having him speak at our 9/11 service. And now you have the privilege of seeing and hearing Congressman Bob McEwen on DVD. We'll send you our 9/11 memorial service featuring Congressman Bob McEwen on DVD for your gift to the radio outreach of Real Radio of any amount. So call, click, or write. You can visit realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or call us at 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. If you'd like to do it the traditional way, send in your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.